Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of
mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Soft sand beaches, clam shacks, and weather-worn shingled houses. Cape Cod is a slice of paradise for tourists and vacationers, and it is flooded with cheap heroin. Across the country, opioid-related deaths have quadrupled since 2001. New England has been especially hard hit. On the Cape alone, 85% of crime is opioid-related.
People come here to vacation, think it's a wonderful place. It's the worst place to be at right now. Everybody's dying left to right.
Down on the Cape, there's really, like, nothing to do, like, at all. Like, you either work and you're normal or you do drugs.
A new documentary from Oscar-winning filmmaker Stephen Okazaki shows us another Cape. The Dunkin' Donuts parking lots, the public restrooms, and smoke-filled apartments where opiate addicts score, use, rationalize, and talk with him candidly about their inability to overcome addiction. Heroin, Cape Cod, USA, is a documentary now available on HBO Go. Director Stephen Okazaki, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
You follow eight young people with a heroin habit. Many of them were first hooked on legal painkillers. Marissa, one of the characters, given Vicodin after she got her wisdom teeth pulled. Another in a motorcycle accident, given painkillers. Jessica, her face slashed up in an accident by a drunk driver. Here is, I think it's Ariana, remembering her first time.
I sniffed it and, like, the response happened in my brain. It was like I found, like, the love of my life, the other missing piece. Like, everything finally made sense.
The love of her life. Is that something that you heard commonly from the people that you followed?
Yeah. And she, you know, she went on to say it was, you know, the feeling was better than love. It was better than sex. It was better than children. And she had two children. And she, at the time of the film, when we were filming her, she had 3 years clean. And she was staying clean for her kids. And then... the drug, it's very hard for people to understand how powerful the drug is and how powerful the pull to it is. I think, you know, we all, you know, everybody has some kind of addiction. I don't know whether it's chocolate chip ice cream or, you know, watching a TV show or something. But, you know, it's hard to fathom. I mean, and I think, you know, it's easy to blame the users as well. But I think, you know, you can take... someone with the exact same profile, you know, as one of these kids, and they, you know, they would not have a heroin problem. Mm. It's, you know, as they say in the film several times, it's a disease. It's something that just kids are vulnerable to it, and particularly at that age. I mean, I think taking up heroin at 14 or 16 is not the same kind of process as deciding to, you know, try it at the age of 30. I mean, you're so vulnerable. You're not getting along with your parents, and you don't know what you want to do with your life. You're feeling sort of isolated. You want to, you know, and something comes along that's going to block out that pain. But at the same time, yeah, at least half of the kids in the film were at least introduced by, you know, essentially by their doctors giving them prescriptions, and, you know, two of them were in serious car accidents, so they went home with you know a couple hundreds of pills, and you use those pills, you know, for 6 months, 7 months, and it can easily become a problem.
Well, she, Ariana, like others, she'd been through several treatment programs. She'd been to sober houses and rehabs, and survived nearly ODing more than once with the help of the drug Narcan. Let's hear a little bit more about Narcan.
The doctors told me to stop a couple times, like after the first couple times I've overdosed. I just kept dying. Because I always thought, like, they're going to bring me back. They'll bring me back. They'll hit me with Narcan. I'm fine. They'll bring me back.
Well, the Narcan is kind of a Band-Aid for the people that overdose in the short term. But again, it's just a Band-Aid. That is just treating a symptom. These people are back on the street 45 minutes later doing the exact same thing. So you haven't actually fixed the problem whatsoever.
All the times I OD'd, I'd get right out of the hospital and I'd get high right after. I'd get high in the hospital parking lot.
That's a clip from Heroin, Cape Cod, USA. It's a new HBO documentary made by my guest, Stephen Okazaki. He's an Oscar-winning documentary film director. Well, we heard a little bit from Marissa, one of the characters, along with Dr. Craig Cornwall there. You know, as many states and municipalities are putting Narcan in the hands of first responders and parents, we just heard from the doctor there, just a Band-Aid. Do you think addicts believe that they are bulletproof?
Well, I think that obviously Narcan has saved, you know, thousands. I have, you know, no idea how many lives. But it has, at the same time, emboldened kids to thinking they're that someone will just, you know, Narcan them. You know, but you can get so loaded, someone can Narcan you over and over, and it won't bring you back. When you have addicts, there's always sort of a workaround. How can I make this work for me? You know, once you're addicted, there are no simple solutions. For me, just observing it, I mean, it's just, you know, you can see how helpless people feel and how helpless their families are to help them. But, you know, much of the problem now, I mean, I think it's been different in different times, although there have been numerous attempts to commercialize opiates since the beginning of opiates. At the turn of the 19th century, Bayer, at the same time they were introducing aspirin and giving out free samples of aspirin, were also, Bayer gave heroin its name, and it was also offered free, as free samples, even to children, particularly to children and women, when it was introduced. So it's finally succeeded. Opiates have been commercialized, and they're so available. And it seems to me that's the place to attack the problem, is that supply.
Let's hear a little bit about the impact on families, which comes across very strongly in this film. One of the young women you talked to, Danielle, says, "Anyone with my last name, I've hurt the most." There's a support group made up of parents, mostly mothers, I notice. And here are a few clips from meetings. And let me just remark that they were not played together in the film.
If my kid had some other disease that was as dangerous to him as his addiction, people would be bringing casseroles, you know? But I haven't gotten any casserole.
I knew I played a part in it. You know, I was giving him money. I was enabling him to not have to go to work or, you know, whatever, like, you know, by buying the things, paying for his cell phone, doing all those things, I was giving him the money to go out and use his money for drugs.
Just so many different things in there. The kids say that themselves, I was happy. I wasn't a depressed kid or I wasn't molested. I was active in sports. You know, so in other words, none of these old notions of why people want to obliterate themselves. And it's not about socioeconomic status or education. Is opioid addiction a whole new ballgame than, you know, what you witnessed back in San Francisco during the heroin days? Is it just a new thing altogether?
Well, I think it is very different. When I was doing Black Tar Heroin in San Francisco in 1996, 1997, the kids that I came across had these backgrounds that were, you know, nightmarish, the sexual and physical abuse and level of neglect. You thought, well, heroin's an option for them, you know, as the one thing that might, you know, sort of block that out of their heads for a while. Now, you know, it's not to say that, you know, the kids in Cape Cod, USA, don't have issues, but it's like, you know, what typical 18-year-old doesn't have a lot of drama going on in their head that they want to, you know, get rid of or solve or something. I think it is really different. There's a different kind of just, you know, seeking that good high sort of culture that, you know, that the culture has somehow enabled, where kids are using alcohol or marijuana, and from lots of kids, you know, they stop there. And for others, they want a better high, and they start talking, and someone says, "Have you tried this or have you tried that?" And, you know, it, I think in past times, heroin's had this very different sort of aura, this sort of, you know, as the, you know, scariest, most deadly, most addictive of the drugs. And obviously, because, you know, your first attempt and it doesn't have to be going down to the corner, and you can just go over to the medicine cabinet, you know, and get, you know, somebody's old prescription that they haven't thrown out, the leftovers from somebody's, you know, broken bones, or even a toothache, you know, you can get opiates. So the access to it is very different.
All of the addicts that we meet in your film are clearly struggling. But there's this one, Marissa, to me, just so heartbreaking. Obviously very smart, a little cocky. She makes clear that she never steals. You know, she dances at a strip club. She works as a prostitute to support her habit. But none of that saves her from shame.
I'm ashamed, and I think everybody sees my arms. I feel like everyone sees them everywhere I go. They're always looking, or like people at Dunkin' Donuts even look. I feel like everyone's looking at me. Everybody knows. You know, I'm a good girl. Like, I don't know why I do this to myself. You just become so lost. And I just don't want to feel that pain. So that's why I get high. And I know people, you know, that's just an excuse, but f*** you, I don't want to feel it.
And that's Marissa. She is one of the addicts that is profiled in the film Heroin, Cape Cod, USA. It's a new HBO documentary directed by my guest, Stephen Okazaki, who's an Oscar-winning documentary director. That's one of the things that just really strikes me over and over again in this film, the kind of self-perception, the kind of honesty about who they are. Like, they're addicts. This is what they do. This is what they love. I'm just wondering how it struck you as a filmmaker.
Well, I think you feel the tragedy when you have someone like Marissa, who is so smart, you know, so articulate, funny, you know, passionate about life, and you think she's one of these people. If you met her, didn't know she was an addict, you'd think she could do anything. I should hire her to run my company, or you really feel the possibilities for her are sort of endless, but she's gone this other way. And she's 23 years old, and she's sort of the veteran user of the group. And we decided to use her as sort of the muse who comes in and out. She's not really part of the other people's stories, although she's well known. When we did her interview, she was not in Cape Cod. She had been part of that scene, but was working in a strip club in New Hampshire. But so we sort of had her as our sage coming in, sort of commenting on the lives of these newer users. And it was really, going through her transcripts, she could articulate any aspect of what addiction was, what it felt like, what someone goes through. You know, she was so smart, except unfortunately for herself, she was really vulnerable. And when we were doing the film, she was on Suboxone and she was trying to not get high. She was using the chewing gum form of it. And but she had a boyfriend who was in jail. And when he got out. And then a few days later, Marissa overdosed and was gone. That was just a couple months ago.
You came to know these people, and not all turns out well for them, certainly. Now you're talking to the public about the film. You know, you're working with Governor Charlie Baker of Massachusetts. So what is it that you want to be saying to public policymakers or the public or healthcare workers after making this film?
Well, I think my goal as a filmmaker is, not political, not policy, really. I mean, my goal is to just put a human face on it. So when we talk about it, we don't just talk about numbers. We don't sort of stereotype who the addicts are, that we can put a human face on it. To me, the most powerful line in the film is when Marissa, who was on before, says, you know, don't disrespect me. I could be your daughter. And I think that really is the theme of the film. I mean, it could be you, it could be someone really close to you, and so let's not just, you know, walk by it. The governor of Massachusetts the film is very graphic. It's, you know, uncensored. It's HBO, of course. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he had no qualms putting his full support. And we just showed the film to the White House drug czar, and the White House is going to sponsor a screening in a couple weeks. So I don't know. That part is sort of unexpected. But I think, you know, our job is pretty much done. And I think the solutions are very difficult, but, you know, it's so bad, you know, people cannot avoid it anymore and have to pay attention to it. And if we can help illuminate it a little, that's great.
Well, it's a heartbreaking story, and I want to thank you very much for joining us to talk about it and for bringing it to us.
Thanks for having me.
Stephen Okazaki, he's the director of Heroin, Cape Cod, USA. It's a documentary that is now available on HBO Go. There's more on the film at wordofmouthradio.org.